I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and the Roommate with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB,
X-Chicken,
Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go.
News and the Roommate.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna with the crew, XV, Rob Clay, and Peter Van, a.k.a. Bweebum. Do you still go by Bweebum anywhere, Peter?
I barely go by Peter Van anywhere. He would just say, hey you.
Yeah, do you have like a spy name or like an undercover name? Do you have a hotel name like when you check into hotels?
I usually generally...
Well, he does, but it's not for work purposes.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, code names at work, that's so like, old style.
Like, Michael Vick was Ron Mexico, and who else? Oh, like the Wiener, Anthony Wiener. He was Carlos Danger.
Yeah. I think I was, I actually usually try to stay away from the stereotypes, so I just go with Chink Chinaman.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I can put that in the show. We'll see.
Oh.
Actually, I might leave it and see if Brian catches it. See if he says anything about it.
After some of the things we say on Superhero Time, I don't think Brian cares about anything.
You should bleep it out. I don't want people to hear my code name.
That's true. Yes. You should switch to, I don't know, Hong Kong Fooey or something like that next time. And then I can be, El Wapo or something like that. I'm trying to think. There's no, like, Mexican... Oh, the Frito Bandito. How about that? Okay, guys.
This is going places I never expected.
Nah, it's already... We've already offended at least three ethnicities. And in a surprising twist, it's by the people from those ethnicities.
That's
why
it's okay.
Allegedly. That's why Peter and I are like, doing a little dance, because we can say things. Society still gives us a pass. Okay, so guys, this is the first new Soundwave in forever. It seems like forever. And I'm going to be honest with you. And I love hanging out with you guys, but what spurred new Soundwave was Twitter bullying. I got bullied into doing a show because Twitter demanded it. They demanded it.
Holy crap.
Yes, they did. They came after me. In fact, I knew I had to act when I think Diecast and Don wanted to do their own new Soundwave in lieu of us. I had to protect the brand.
Then obviously, you have to bring the show back with us at that point because we cannot allow that to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why you got to nip that sucker in the bud. You know?
That's right. Peter, there's no replacing you, especially with Don. So, you know. We had to take action. And the good thing, though, is since it's been a while since we had a new Soundwave, there's so much to talk about. We're actually going to pick a couple of topics that I thought were interesting in the last month or so. If you guys have anything else you want to talk about, feel free to throw it in at the end. And then at the very, very end is the grand tradition. The random hypothetical. Okay.
He's really listening for anyway.
That's really. I mean, yes. This is just the. This is just the appetizer. This is just foreplay. It's video game foreplay. We're just teasing you, for the.
It's bluffing.
Yes, that's right. Oh my gosh. Okay, so. you've risen so high in my rankings, XV, just from that one reference alone. I enjoy that's just in your vocabulary. That's awesome.
Sure.
Sure, why not? Fluff. Okay, so the first topic is too good to be true. In fact, most people thought it was just a prank for the first day because, really, this is a thing? It is the 2DS, the Nintendo 2DS. So before we get into this, if you've been living under a rock, the Nintendo 2DS is a 3DS for kids, if you listen to Nintendo. It's designed for little kids. What it is effectively a 3DS without the 3D and without a hinge. So it's a tablet-y, leapfrog-looking kind of contraption with the two DS screens. No sliding bar for 3D, obviously. A stylus. And it's just this big, flat panel with everything that the 3DS has except for the 3D. So, Rob, I'm going to turn it over to you. When you heard about the 2DS, I mean, what was your initial impression? Like what, where did your mind go?
Well, my first impression was the same as everybody else's, which is, this isn't a joke, right? I mean, this has to be some kind of prank. And, of course, it wasn't. After that, you know, I think the basic reasoning is sound. I don't know, you know, how much good it's going to do them, but, you know, I have thought for a long time that one of the things that makes a successful portable system is durability. I like my PSP. There are actually a decent amount of games for it, and games that I like, and games that I can't get on other platforms. And I'm basically scared to take it anywhere because it feels fragile and always has. Now, if the 2DS feels less fragile than the 3DS and is cheaper to boot, I think as a system for kids and clumsy people, it could do fairly well.
Peter, what say you?
I really liked your description that Nintendo provided. It's like, it's a 3DS but for kids, except for, you know, it doesn't have 3D, it doesn't have a hinge, so it's essentially nothing like the 3DS.
You know what I was thinking, and Rob and I kind of briefly exchanged on Twitter, kind of the interesting kind of meta, I guess, discussion is, what does this mean for Nintendo? What does this mean? What does this say about Nintendo's choice to do a 3D system in the first place? Because the first time they, seemingly kind of like at the first chance they got to really like radically redo the system, they didn't like make it more 3D. They took the 3D out of it. So,
John, how do you make it more 3D?
Well, you know what I mean. Like they didn't make more out of the gimmick, or they didn't play up the gimmick as or refine it, or like work on it and say, oh no, the 3D is even better now, or we found like new exciting ways to integrate the 3D. They just killed it. So you know, I don't know. XB yeah, was. Sorry. Go ahead, Peter.
No, I just thought it's just funny because they decided to, like, what John meant, I think, is that he, you know, I'm surprised that they decided not to make it suck less. Because the 3DS is, I mean, the 3D element of the 3DS is it's very gimmicky, right? So they pretty much made a new generation DS that everybody wanted, except for they just unhinged it. So, I don't know.
You could say they're unhinged, Peter. Yeah.
Nintendo is, yeah, I don't know.
Suck it. XV, what say you?
I didn't think this was necessarily a bad idea on its own until someone told me, hey, this doesn't close, it doesn't have a hinge. And ever since the Game Boy Advance SP, I've thought that Nintendo portables are kind of defined by that hinge close thing so that all the inner parts are protected when it's not in use. That's the part that makes it kid-friendly.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, like, Rob, you were saying, like, durability is important to you. Is the exposed screen not kind of scary on some level?
It is, and, you know, it's hard to say which is going to be worse, because I've heard on some models of DS, especially the DS Lite, the weak hinges can become a problem with time. That's not going to be the problem here, but how much screen damage is.
Right.
You know, hard to say.
Yeah, especially if you give it to a kid. I mean, I know there's like, I don't know what LeapFrogs go for. I think they go for like $80 or something like that. Maybe the top of the line ones. But I'm still going to be like, I would still be hesitant to give this to a kid. I mean, maybe obviously less hesitant than giving them like an iPad, which insane rich people do. But I mean, this is still like a very like risky proposition to like give them this piece of hardware and just let them, you know, run off into the ether with it and think they're going to come back with it in one piece.
I mean, nowadays, you know, parents give their kids their iPhones and they're like, here, just shut up. Just play this while,
Angry Birds. You know, yeah. No, I'll tell you, looking at this, the thing that I think of more than anything else is the Sega Nomad. And along that line, it kind of makes me think, okay, this is the model of 3DS level hardware without the 3D that basically you intend to give your kid to sit at home and play, not necessarily to take out into the world.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's also kind of like, I think tablets for most people are kind of like that. They're kind of like a household thing. You know, so they tend to, yeah, you're right. They tend to not go out into the wilderness, into real, like, danger, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing else that I kind of think is interesting with this is it's, like, historically, Nintendo hasn't, kind of going back to the gimmick thing, historically, Nintendo has kind of done its own thing. They've kind of been in a vacuum, and they've come out with intriguing things, kind of like, you know, Apple and several other companies do. They design and think in a vacuum. But with the Wii U and the 3DS, they really chased trends, if not gimmicks, like you guys were saying. Like, 3D is for sure a gimmick. People have been trying it for generations. Like, at least the last two or three generations of technology, people have been trying to do 3D. There were 3D movies. Our parents went to see 3D movies. And then tablets. Now, tablets are probably a trend, definitely like a form factor that's become really established probably at this point. Yep. And they chased that with the Wii U to incredibly mixed results. And then now, and like I said, the 3DS is the gimmick. The Wii U is the trend, and the 3DS is the gimmick. And they've just killed the gimmick, and the trend's not doing so hot. So I wonder if this is like, I guess, Nintendo doing something that it's never done before and frankly failing miserably at it, and that's just trying to chase what they perceive the consumer, what the consumer wants. I mean, what do you guys think
about that?
Let's
not forget the Virtual Boy.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Was that 3D? Was that marketed as 3D?
It was 3D. If it
yeah, I mean,
right for
it,
you.
It was stereoscopic 3D because you had independent screens over each eye. It was also, you know, red as all hell and would destroy your brain, which is coincidentally what they think the 3DS does to children. But, you know, I think that's probably a large part of it, too. You know, Nintendo, even if only to cover themselves, said that young children should not play with the 3D turned on a 3DS.
Yeah, it gives it messes up their retinas or something.
Something like, it would do, the fear was that there would be adverse effects to their visions as they got older because of the exposure to the 3D, maybe. But, you know, having lower cost hardware that takes that away to start with, it's not a bad idea, and I'm kind of wondering, too, if once this gets out and gets a little bit established, if we're not going to see 3DS titles that just don't even have 3D components programmed in.
Yeah, it certainly gives, especially third-party makers, kind of permission to design something for the 2DS. Like, yeah. It'll play on a 3DS, but it's designed with 2D because we want to make it for kids, and so we want to make sure it's a simpler experience.
And given the original DS's, you know, history of overselling its gimmick for the first year and a half, 2 years or so, that's probably for the best.
Absolutely. In fact, and you know, honestly, I've had a 3DS for a while. I dust it off every now and then and play a Nintendo game. Third-party games are non-existent. In fact, that's kind of a mini topic in itself. This is the generation where Nintendo, it feels like third party doesn't exist for Nintendo anymore. It's all Nintendo games, and it's only Nintendo games on Nintendo stuff. Like, we've really reached the point where I feel if you buy a Nintendo system, you're buying it for the Nintendo games and absolutely nothing else. I mean, what do you guys think?
I think a lot of that has to do with Nintendo being behind the curve on its major hardware for two generations now. I don't think they're going to get as many third parties on board when those third parties can't just port the games you're developing for the other two major systems straight over.
Yeah, and that's something I remember saying when we were talking about the Wii U last year, is that basically Nintendo had until the new generation, when it was no longer easy to port major titles over, to make a mark for the Wii U. And, well,
nah.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was a long time ago, even before the Wii U. I think Nintendo, you know, Wii itself was originally, it got this huge bump, and people were like, "Oh, we're totally going to make games for this," and then it just died. I mean, my Wii still is literally sitting there. I haven't bought a game for it. I think the last game I bought for it was the new Zelda game.
Oh, really? Twilight Princess? Or
yeah, nice. Yeah, that was, yeah. So.
I think the last time we turned it on was when we wanted to play some like Tetris game that we bought.
Like Dr. Mario.
Yeah, or some crazy stuff. It's never like, it's like a sale.
I use my Wii for homebrew applications way more than I use it for actual playing of video games.
Yeah, I think Nintendo has, you know, repainted themselves into a corner in the N64 days when it hit that point where people just weren't making good games for it anymore.
Yeah, you couldn't.
And now nobody's even making games for it.
Yeah.
So they're even more trouble now.
Yeah, nobody's trying. The other thing, too, is really when you think about Nintendo franchises, they're kind of running out of steam. Like, I like a Zelda game as much as the next guy. I'm not buying a Wii U bundle of Wind Waker HD. I'm not. I mean, there's lots of people that go out and buy a Halo bundle because they love Halo, and that will spur them to buy like the new Xbox or even like even a Madden game, really. But no, there's really no Nintendo franchise anymore, I feel, that has like a rabid fan base. At one point, Mario was like that, but they've beaten Mario into the ground in the last 2 years or so.
I would say Super Smash Brothers does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think Smash Brothers is probably one of the only ones that would sort of spur me to get it. But then I look at my Wii, just like I said, still sitting there. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to go to a friend's place. I don't even know anybody that owns a Wii U, so I'm pretty much out of luck.
You know, neither do I.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, okay, I guess I'm not going to get this because there's going to be nobody to play it with.
You know, that's worth noting. We all, as far as I know, all four of us here own Wiis, but we not only do not own Wii Us, we do not know anyone who owns a Wii U.
Yeah, cool. I can't think of anyone.
Does Mickey have one?
People.
No, I don't believe Mickey does have one. Mickey still has a Wii hooked up.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't think Kilby has one, or he'd talk about regretting the purchase.
Yeah.
So,
immediately.
Yes,
he would have plugged it in and be like, you know what, I shouldn't have bought this.
Just shake his head.
And then he consistently just buys more of those game pads.
Yeah, because that'll make him feel better. I don't know, we'll see. But you're right, I had actually forgotten about Smash Brothers, but you're right. Smash Brothers has like a huge following. It's probably going to move more units than anything they've ever done, because they'll for sure do a bundle for Smash Brothers. And they dropped the price of the Wii U $50. Yeah. So what is it going for now?
I think 300.
Yeah, that's right. $299.
Yeah, that's like that threshold point too, where the majority of people will start to get onto it. When the consoles top 300 or 350, that's when people start really thinking about the purchase instead of just grabbing one.
Yeah, it's hard to compete at that price, too, especially when the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, yes, they're more expensive, but they also can make a legitimate claim that they do all this other stuff.
So much more for it. I mean, come on.
And that's most of what Xbox One's claim is, that it does all this other stuff.
you are getting so much more. You're not just throwing ninja stars from your gamepad to the screen. I mean, you get to
Although
watch.
That always sounds like a really cool mechanic to me.
Right. Have you ever played with it? It's terrible.
I'm not surprised. I just said it sounded cool.
It makes you commercial. Cool.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the thing that Nintendo's been doing since the Wii and the DS, where it's more about the mechanic of how the hardware works than keeping the hardware up to spec, having good stuff to utilize the hardware. You know, yep. Nintendo has been in a gimmick platform mode for a long time, and when they went to 3D, 3D's a fad. The movies don't play it up anymore. 3D TV production, I think, has probably hit a plateau at best.
3D, I mean, and, 3D movie ticket sales are dropping. You know,
people don't want to pay that.
People, you know, 3D was entertaining to people for a little while, but they're over it now.
Yeah,
for sure. I know, like, I remember reading an article, it's actually probably been a couple years now, that when ESPN dropped ESPN 3D, which was a thing, and they dropped it and they stopped shooting sports in 3D, that was kind of like the nail in the coffin of 3D TV for a long time, because they were really the only people doing 3D production on a regular basis, you know, shooting live sports in 3D. And really, when you think about it, if you can't sell sports in 3D on TV,
right,
you can't sell anything. Because, yeah, that's one of the few things that, like, makes kind of intuitive sense when it comes to 3D. It's like, oh, it's like they're coming right at, like, football in 3D sounds awesome.
Yeah,
but it's not.
Any platform, not like video game platform specifically, but like any media platform where you can't sell sports. Because think about how video games work. Every year there's a new $65 sports game, which 4 weeks after its launch is not worth $15 at a GameStop.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But right. Everybody, all the sports people go and buy that fresh, new, off the shelf at midnight the day it comes out because sports.
Right. And I think another thing is, like, 3D didn't make it. I mean, the porn industry didn't adopt porn. I mean, 3D. So
the when porn industry does not adopt porn. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah.
They've got ethics. They got standards.
Right.
You're right. Actually, holy crap. My mind has just been blown.
Didn't adopt 3D.
Yeah.
They adopted the VHS. They adopted the Blu-ray and everything. So, you know, they're the forefront of home media sales.
Is there Blu-ray porn?
Oh yeah.
Wow. Oh, I like that response. Man.
I mean, that was essentially, I remember the news. It was like, you know, one of the porn companies goes Blu-ray, and it's essentially, it was like, I was like, oh, HD DVD is dead. That's it. And you haven't seen, you know, 3D porn stars yet, you know, in your home living room. So
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I'm glad for that.
Well,
I don't think there's some things I want to see coming at me,
so to speak.
Take that as literally or not as you like.
Yes.
Right. There's no 3D Peter North effect, I understand.
Oh my gosh, Peter, we're learning so much about you. Hey, all right, next topic on that note.
Thank you.
Real quick one. Okay, so hey, Rob, do you know how to pronounce the creator of Mega Man's name? I'm bad at this.
I think it's it'll be
Inafune.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. All right, whatever. Okay, so Keiji Inafune has announced he was fired from Capcom years ago, very famously, just kicked to the curb. And Capcom has also in the last few years very famously kicked Mega Man to the curb. They canceled all the Mega Man titles that were in work at the time, in development at the time. They've done really just a series of, like, trolls with Mega Man. They put him in cameo spots in video games. They did fat, ugly box art Mega Man for Street Fighter Cross Tekken. It teased him as Mega Man, and then he shows up, and he's like a 40-year-old uncle. Just kind of kicked him around and made fun of him. The only thing that they've done recently that legitimate is to just give Nintendo the rights to use him in Super Smash Brothers. And they actually did a legitimate, honest-to-goodness Mega Man in Smash Brothers. And what do you know? Everybody went nuts. So, anyway, flash forward to today. And the Mega Man creator, Inafune, has announced a new project on Kickstarter. Oh, Kickstarter. And it's called the Mighty Number 9. Stop me if this sounds familiar. So the Mighty Number 9 is about a robot named Beck. He is the ninth in a series of other super robots. The first eight robots go haywire, turn evil, and Beck, the ninth robot, travels around trying to defeat the eight other robots, along the way gaining special abilities that relate to the other eight robots. It includes jumping, shooting, sliding, classic side-scrolling action. In other words, here's my middle finger, baby. That's what he's saying to Capcom. So, and it's a Kickstarter, above all, on top of everything else. So, guys, I guess the big question is, for you guys, is another Mega Man game something that you've that is particularly like high on your list? Have you missed Mega Man? Do you think Mega Man is a franchise deserving of this kind of, I guess, fervor and the creator going to Kickstarter and starting his own Kickstarter? I mean, does Mega Man strike you as like a true like franchise that's been, faced injustice for years?
it's really kind of fascinating when you get down to it, because, you know, we are all old enough to remember the late 90s and early 2000s when the response to another Mega Man game was, oh God, another Mega Man game. But since about Mega Man 9, when they got much fewer and farther between, and I think that honestly better thought out, that things have kind of turned around, and I'm kind of looking forward to this. I think I will ultimately get it when and, you know, for what platform, assuming they meet the stretch goal for PS3, 360, and Wii U versions. I don't know.
I'll be shocked if they don't.
Yeah, me too. Because it funded in, what, like about 36 hours, 50 hours, somewhere in there.
Yeah, there's still like 2.5-3 weeks left on the Kickstarter to get to that final goal, and they're at like 1.9 out of the 2.2 million they need to do the console versions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess real quick before everybody else chimes in. So yeah, the Kickstarter goal started at 900,000, and that started on August 31st.
7 days ago.
Yes, 7 days ago, 900,000 is what they wanted at first. That was on August 31st. 2 days later, September 2nd, they met it. 1 day later, they went up to 1.2 million, which got two additional stages. That same day, they went to 1.35 million, which added ports for not only Microsoft Windows, but also Mac OS and Linux. The next day, it was 1.5, which added more gameplay. 2 days later, it's 1.75, which added a documentary of the making of the game. And then the final stretch goal will be to port it to the consoles, essentially. And, yeah, like XB, like you said, they'll hit that. No problem.
Yeah.
They'll hit that within a week, I'm sure, and probably get a couple more stretch goals added on top of it.
Yeah, I like the question mark at the end of that. The 2.2 million.
Like, if you guys keep giving us money, we'll figure something out, I guess.
I mean, 23 days left? I mean, come on. This is crazy.
Oh, yeah. They'll manage that easy.
Yeah.
I've seen worse ideas than this make more than they should. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And this is, like, the maker of Mega Man. So, in theory, the game will be good. It's got pedigree.
The spirit will be there.
Yes, the spirit will be there. Hey, Peter, were you a fan of Mega Man games back in the day?
You know, I actually wasn't. I actually didn't play them. I was strongly controlled about what games I would play. And for some reason, a robot who went around shooting people with his arm cannon was one of them that was not allowed to be played in the household.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So, like, the idea of, like, this little blue guy shooting corn pops at people was, like, too much to bear.
Apparently, but I could play Double Dragon for some reason. I guess it's better than
popcorn. Well, because you weren't shooting people.
Right. Popcorn bullets versus beating the snot out of people.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hopefully you got to the last boss when your parents weren't in the room.
Right. No, I honestly, it wasn't until a few years ago that I started to visit Mega Man, so I did not. It was definitely not a childhood memory of mine.
So you played some of the old school Mega Man?
Yeah, I've played it. I played it here and there, but you know, I did it when I was older, so it was one of those you play for a while and you're like, this is awesome, and then for some reason you stop playing it all of a sudden.
Yeah, we all went through that, like Rob said. We're like, hey, this is awesome, and then four games later we're like, this sucks. Again. What about you, XV? I mean, what do you think of this project?
It's interesting. I mostly like it for that Inafune, you know, taking his ball and going his own way with it.
I guess that's the idea of Kickstarter too, right? I mean, I guess that was the beauty. That's the whole point of a Kickstarter.
I think this really exemplifies what Kickstarter should be about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a worthwhile project that would not be able to get financially back any other way.
Yeah, this is definitely a recent trend, right? There's a lot of the, people doing movies and things like that as well. Like, just people that are essentially, you know, they obviously have enough of their own money to fund projects like this, but they're like, that's too much skin in the game. And he's willing to be like, hey, look, I mean, you guys want to play this game, you should fork up some of this cash. I mean, right? Because, you know, you don't know.
No, that's right.
a lot of, you know, publishing companies, they'll throw out millions of dollars for a game, you know, and charge you all this money for it because they don't know. They're hoping it does well, but they don't know.
Yeah,
but
now, they have to make their money somewhere.
Yeah, he already gets like $2.2 million of it, right? And he spends, you know, whatever he spends on a budget to make this game, market it or whatever. He doesn't even need marketing. When Kickstarter goes crazy, you know, everybody picks up on it. The news picks up on it, whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He's definitely going to do well with this game, for sure.
And of course, being a professional, he is doing it the correct way, which is creating a new IP that exemplifies the best parts of Mega Man and the parts that he thinks should be kept, as opposed to all the people who jump on Kickstarter going, hey, I'm going to remake Final Fantasy VII. I just need like $3 million so I can secure the rights or whatever.
He's pretty much doing what, you know, big companies are afraid to do nowadays, is to invest money into a new IP. Instead of, you know, like, you know, why not? Why would we spend all this money on a new IP? Why not just make Call of Duty 25 and add a dog?
That's a good point. And, you know, the other thing that he kind of, I guess he's proving to them right now is, like, demand. So, you know, I mean, the company would, any company can kind of argue they can take the defensive stance that, well, we don't know what the demand is. And so we can't take the risk. We don't know what the demand is. The beauty of Kickstarter is that's your demand right there. People are like paying up front for a product. So that's kind of taken care of at the front end. And so it's kind of interesting. It'll be interesting is to see if Capcom, one, doesn't give a shit, or two, is spurred to do something Mega Man related to be spiteful and mean, because they're good at that too. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, Mega Man had its, I want to say it was his 25th anniversary this year or last year. They did nothing. They published a fan-made game. The Mega Man Cross Street Fighter game. They didn't even make that. They published it because they thought, I guess, because they were charmed by it. But that was their, that was their celebration of Mega Man, is just shoveling somebody else's work onto, you know, the market, so to speak, giving it away. But
better than,
know,
Metroid got, but still pretty bad.
Yeah, how old is Metroid? Is Metroid 20-ish?
I believe Metroid is about the same age as Mega Man. It was 25 either this year or last, and I can't remember which.
Dear Lord. That's another franchise that has seen better days.
Yeah. You know, when you were saying what was the last thing you bought for the Wii, I bought Metroid Other M at Five Below for $5, and I have not tried it yet.
I want to say Other M isn't bad. It's just not Metroid. I'm not sure what it is. Yeah,
it's just not what you wanted.
Yeah, it's just completely the wrong IP. But, you know, I don't know what this is, but it ain't Metroid. But I'm not upset either. Okay, guys, to wrap it up, it's time once again for the random hypothetical. Oh, Peter. Yes, you get ready, because Peter, as we all know, is the grand master, the grand wizard of hypotheticals.
He's a victim.
Well, but in that there's beauty. In that there is I don't know, magic. We're about to make magic. We're about to have a solid number two of pure magic, as I would like to say. Solid, not runny, a very healthy number two. Okay, so this one actually isn't, I would say, gross or anything like that. It's
John, I'm quickly losing interest.
It's a thinker. It's a thinking man. Thinking man's hypothetical. As XV holds the gun to my neck, yeah, to my profusely sweating neck. Okay, Peter. So I have to ask first, are you an omnivore? Are you a vegetarian? What are you? What's your diet consist of?
I eat a lot of protein.
Okay, perfect. So the random hypothetical is you have two choices in life. One, you can be a vegetarian for the rest of your life. Two, you can eat whatever you want. You can continue being an omnivore, if you will. But every 10 minutes, you have violent power farts. What is it going to be?
Can you clarify the power farts? Is it like liftoff?
Like an audible, you can't hold it in either. So you don't do that trick. You can't hold it in and then like sit down in your seat really hard and let it like slide out like in little bits. I know your tricks. You can't do that. So like every 10 minutes for the rest of your life, including when you sleep, you have loud, audible farts with, you know, a good rush of air coming out. Colon cleansers, real colon cleansers. But that is the price of eating your delicious meat. It's that or you eat sprouts for the rest of your life. What is
it? I'll take the power farts. I'll turn it into something that's memorable in my own life.
How are you gonna navigate that when you're around lady friends?
I mean, the one I already have is willing to accept farts regardless. So
that was gonna be my point too. If she really loves you, that's not gonna be a deal breaker.
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. I'll still be an omnivore, and then I'll turn to life of fighting crime or something. And then
you're gonna be fart man.
Yeah, I'm gonna be fart man, and I'll turn. You know, if I'm in trouble, I'll just turn around. You know, and just.
Well, no, superhero names don't end in man anymore. That's pretty old hat. You'd have to be like Backfire or something.
Very nice. Also, I'm gonna ask for some homework at some point. In the 3 months until the next new sound wave, you need to ask your lady friend, is she really okay with this? I need verification.
Wait, you mean like, is she okay if hypothetically I someday just started having power farts every 10 minutes?
Or if
just
six,
in general?
6 times every hour you pass gas in a very audible and firm way. Is she okay with that? Is she going to, and including nights, I need to know.
I'll ask her at dinner, and then I'll send you a Twitter message.
You better. And since that Twitter message is going to go out before the show, people are going to be like, what the hell is that about? Okay. So XV, what say you, buddy?
Uh-oh.
XV. Oh, my beat.
Nice.
Am I not still here?
Simple but powerful. Yeah, repeat your answer. You may have broken up between the power.
Yeah, all I heard was the not giving up your meat part.
That's what she said. Okay, XV. Yeah, exactly. What was your answer again?
Yeah, I'm not giving up the meat because I already kind of have. I'm not giving up the meat because honestly, I already kind of have the consequence.
Oh dear. On that note, Rob.
Genetics, you know.
Well, certain vegetarian diets will do that anyway, so I'm staying an omnivore.
All right. Farts all around is what I say.
And
by the way, if you're listening and you're a lady, one, call us. And two, you got to understand, like, if you're with a man, farts are part of the game. They just are. Yeah. Right.
That's it. I mean,
it is. We fart.
Gas is, yeah. Farting is a part of regular life.
That's right. It's part of being a man.
Look, don't let me fool you. Women fart just as much as we do.
Do they?
Sometimes even more.
Oh my gosh. Is that a commentary? Is that a complaint, Peter?
No.
Are there problems?
Like, it's the same as girls to say, oh, we don't poop.
Okay, well, on that note, girls are gross and boys fart. That is New Soundwave. And until next time, for the team, for Rob, for Peter, for XV, I am John. And we will see you next time.
2-1-0. Game over.
And this is a spell I use in my garden, Your Highness. Watch.
Wonderful! It's getting bigger.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.